if you don't have any energy right now, grab a drink of water, slap your knee, pinch your arm, whatever you gotta do, shake it off. This is the part right now where I'm supposed to challenge you with something really profound and interesting from God's Word, and I've been asking God, what do you want me to say? And whenever we are at our best when we know something inside and out, when you know something and it's on your heart, no matter what anybody says, when you can communicate something that's on your heart, people can get it. And I was talking to Steve and Doug, and we decided the best thing we really need to be communicating is where are we heading as a church? When we say faith at home, when we say orange, when we say a lot of different things, where are we heading? What does the future of our church look like in the near future, in the distance future? We're doing a lot with men right now, but with our kids. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you love kids. You have a heart for kids. If you're not a parent or not a grandparent, you still can really appreciate kids, because kids bring something so unique, and God knew what He was doing when He created growth from kids all the way up to adults. And I'm a person that likes change. I don't know why. God, I just say God created me that way. It's easy just to scapegoat. But when I like change, I have to be very careful, because I can push through things that are working and things that are solid, and I can easily forget where we've come from. I grew up in going to school, and history was never a strong suit of mine. History class was never something I enjoyed, and I try to always figure it out. You know, how come I just don't care for this? I know it's important. I know that's I am here today because of that in the past, and I appreciate it, but I couldn't grab it. But the more I think about it, the more I look at it, I'm starting to appreciate history, and I'm starting to go, okay, I really love starting to learn about history and where we've come from, because now as I'm getting older, I can look back a little further. When you're younger, you don't really have anything to look back on, right? And so now I'm going, okay, I can see how I was raised, and I can see how I'm raising my kids. And then I wave the white flag of help and go, okay, I need to look back further and see what's happening. And so we're going to be talking about where the church is heading with our strategy with our kids and with parents. And we're going to kind of go through it a little quick just to give you some highlights. And I think God will really speak to you and challenge you on it. But I thought to myself, I said, if I don't know where I've come from and where I'm going, then I can't really challenge anybody to observe where they were and where they're going. And then I like change, and I don't like doing the same thing twice or being potentially boring. So I thought, I'm going to sing some songs, and you're going to help me. Okay, you are going to help me, right? But we're going to do a little flash backwards, not like way back. I don't know what way back would be, but songs I don't know. There's songs in my life that God used to challenge me, to lift me up and say, you know what, get a hold of God. God is awesome. Now, you should all know this song. And if you don't, it's okay. You're going to learn it. We're just going to touch on a few songs, just an intro. Ready? I have decided. My voice is going. There we go. That's saying I have decided to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When I heard that song, I was like, okay, that's pretty easy. I like that. Because when we decide to follow Him, everything else is left in the past, and we just leave Him. And God got a hold of my heart in grade 11, grade 12, and said, you know what? Just leave it behind. Anything in your past, just leave it behind, because I'm going to give you something so much bigger than you know. And I thought, okay, when I sing, no turning back, no turning back, it means I'm not looking back there. God is, you know, Satan, you are not going to get a hold of my past. You're not going to pull me down. And I think a lot of us can say the same thing, where we can be held back from whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened 4 years ago, whatever happened 20 years ago. for some reason, we can't move forward because of the thing in our past. And so as I was looking at my life, I just thought, yeah, you know what? I'm grateful for what I went through. I'm grateful for the things that happened. And I'm not going to go into it because I'm not trying to share my testimony. But I think the first step to be who God wants us to be is to realize where we came from and then realize where we need to be going. And so when we just sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus," it just makes so much sense. And then another song I started learning, and again, it's been around for a long time, and it's "Stand Up." My voice, I am sorry. I am ready to... Anybody have a lung that they could trade me for? No? You're funny. Anyways, stand up for Jesus. Sing it with me. Stand. There we go, whatever. This works so good. Good job, Jeff. You're awesome. Anyways, thank you. That's what I need. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. When we say stand up for Jesus, you saw some guys, you guys can have a seat. That's awesome. Way to put the words into action. We'll see how far we go with this. The standing up for standing up Jesus. God challenged me to stand up in grade 12, something very similar to what we had four guys stand up and say, you know what, I don't care who sees me, I don't care who knows where I am, I'm standing up for God no matter what the cost is, because Christ is Lord indeed in my heart, and that's what matters. And so when I started realizing that song, and I gave that song, and I said, you know, I'm singing that song, God took me to a whole other level. To say, you know what, Jeff, you're on track to serve me with your whole heart, because when you stand up and you forget about what everybody thinks about you, you forget about your work, you forget about your family members that don't really know. I went to Bible school and my mom was like, "What are you doing?" She was a Christian lady, but she's like, "What are you doing?" My dad's like, "You need to get an education. I support you, but you need to get an education." And I said, "Well, I feel I need to go to Bible school." And so even when my parents weren't completely behind me, they supported my final decision, but when they weren't completely behind me, I need to realize, you know what, I'm going to stand up for Jesus, no matter what the cost is, no matter if it doesn't make sense to everybody else, I need to realize it makes sense to me and to God, and he's going to reveal that to me when I seek him. And so I went to Bible school, and God was just very real, because when you're surrounded by a lot of people that love him and want to serve him, it's exciting. It's exciting, and you start growing faster and faster, and you just realize that, God, how can I not live without you? Because you give me purpose, and you make sense of the confusion. And I was just so excited, because Jesus was the lover of my soul. Something that I said, you know what, wherever you send me. You say go west, I'll go west. You say go east, I'll go east. You go to Great Village, I don't know where that is, but I'll find it and I'll go there. And sure enough, that's what he did. And he said, you know, you're going to go to Great Village. And I said, you know, whatever you want. I'm not even going to think of all the reasons why it's going to be tough and going to be hard and why I'm not ready and I'm not the best person for the job. You could pick anybody else but me. But when he said, Jeff, make me the lover of your soul, that what I say, I know the future, you don't. And I said, all right, we'll do this together. And, you know, all things are possible. And he just said, you know what, just keep focus on me, because he will make the way. And when you cling on to the truth that's found in his word, where he says, you know what, I don't need you to tell me what you think you need to go to. You need to listen to me. God says, listen to me, and I will walk you through it. It may not be in the fast lane of, I want to know tomorrow, but just listen to me and I will reveal it, and I'll put people in your life that will help guide you. And he did. He brought people in my life that helped showed me what I need to do. And I just love it that if I had to make my own way, when I came out of high school, I was very scared and nervous because I said, if I make the wrong choice, I want to commit to it. I want to be committed to whatever I commit to. And if I make the wrong choice, I'm wasting what God can do in me. And so I said, you know what, God, you need to show yourself in my face and make that way very clear to me. And he did. And so my challenge is this, that God is going to make the way, as he already has in your life. But we need to have eyes that can see it. And we need to say, you know what, with love and strength for each new day, God's going to make that way for me. And I don't know what it is. And I just think it's something that's on my heart, and it's something I plan on sharing. But if God can use that to encourage you, to lift you up and say, you know what, God, make a new way for me. I'm doing what I thought you were supposed to be doing for the last 8 years, the last 2 months. Sometimes it's like, you know what, he wanted you to change, he wanted you to move, and we missed it. We need to back up and say, God, what is the way that you need to do in my life and do that? So be encouraged, because God is real and he is working in every single one of our lives. It's not just the person that stands up and has his great story and says, oh, God did this for me. You're like, oh, I don't have that. I don't have that story. God doesn't really seem to be doing anything in my life. Just pause and reflect and say, God, what are you doing? Because he is. He is doing something amazing. I want to share my main thought, my last thought, and we're not going to spend very long because I understand it is 10 to 12, and we're going to just give you this to grab a hold of, okay? Deuteronomy, fan your Bible if you have it, open it up. As opposed to if you didn't have Deuteronomy in your Bible, I guess that's what I'm replying to. If you don't have Deuteronomy, buy a new Bible, please. When we look back at where we were and where we come from, we see something amazing that's found in this Bible that says, this is where we've come from, and this is where we need to go. And I'm really excited about this verse because it gives clarity. Deuteronomy 6, talking about how we need to be raising up the next generation, how we are responsible, first of all, as parents, to raise our kids. There are people here that your kids are long grown up, but you are still a parent to your child. No matter if they are 40 years old, you are still a parent to your child. Your responsibilities have changed, but you are still a parent to your child. There goes that communion. Plastic, it's okay. But let's read together Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, together. And it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God," say it with me, "the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Pause. Now, the greatest command we can know is to love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. That is everything you do, everything you say, everything you are. Who you are is to, one, love God. When we love God, we will want to say, God, what do you tell me to do, and what do you tell me to stay away from? We will say, God, how do you want me to teach my kids? God, how do you want me to be involved in the church? God, what do you want me to be like at my work? God, what do you want my language to sound like? What do you want my heart to be like? All the rest of answers to everything in life come out of that if we love God with all our heart, then we will seek to find what he has for the answers for our life. So I am really encouraged. Look at you, Roy. You're terrific. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And when that's empty, if anybody else feels a goodwill deed that they wanted to, that'd be great too. Thank you, Roy. Verse 7 says this. Say it with me. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up.
Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How does that apply to us? Parents have the primary responsibility to raise up their kids. The church is not exempt from this equation, though, because in the New Testament, the church's role is to come alongside of and to equip and to help and to say, you know what, we're going to make your life easier because we're going to help you figure this out. In the current day we live in right now, there is a real sense of busyness. Now, in 10 years ago, if you said busy, it was like, oh, you're busy. Like, what are you wasting your time with? What are you filling your time up? But now it's just slowly come along that by saying I'm busy makes you sound important. And it actually says, oh, I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. I am full. And for whatever reason, we think that it's okay to say I'm busy. It's not, because we have to realize that our priority has to be on what God has called us to do. And if we are busy with secondary stuff, then we can't do what God has called us to do. So we need to say, you know what? Evaluate what you're doing and say, okay, this is priority, this is secondary, and so on and so forth. And then when something comes along, you understand that, hey, you know what? This is priority, and yeah, I'm busy because I'm doing this. And that's priority. And so it's okay to say I'm busy because I am actually on task and I'm having my priority straight. But if it's something that's way down here and somebody says, hey, can you help me with this? Or we need to do this. Oh, sorry, I'm busy. I'm watering my garden, you know? We just need to, and I'm not saying watering gardening's bad, okay? But what I'm saying is we need to realize what our priorities are. And I love this. I realized a few things. One, I cannot stand up here and tell you something unless I am doing it in my life. I just, with good conscience, I cannot do that. I cannot say, we need to be doing this. Hurrah, hurrah. Excuse me, I'm going to be over here, though. That's not right. And so I had to say, okay, parenting, where am I at with parenting? Because I am learning a whole lot. I learned a lot about parenting before as a parent because I loved working with kids. And so I learned, but it was really hard to say, parents, go do that. And then be like, you don't have kids. And I'm like, I know, but one day if I'm fortunate and God provides a wife and hurrah, you know, it's hard. And God provided a wife and two gorgeous kids that I love very much. And so now I feel that I can say, parents, we need to be stepping up because I am a parent and I'm learning way over my head, but I'm learning. And God says right here in the Bible, this is what to do. This is the priority. Love God with everything you have and then impress them on your children. I was reading a book during my sabbatical and it was called Flickering Pixels. And I forget the author's name, but it was really good. What it did is it took the things that technology, we'll call technology, the radio, TV, the printing press, to iPhones and smartphones and so on and so forth, just technology. It took the technology and it said, when this piece of technology got invented, here's what our culture gained, and here's what our culture lost. And that shocked me, because I'm always one, like I said, I'm one for change, because I want things to, if we can do it better, then let's do it better. I'm open to whatever we can do to make it better. So when I was reading about the printing press, it really shocked me, because I wasn't around when they invented that, as you could understand. The printing press took away a sense of community where we shared information to keep in our families and keep in our generation. So follow me on this. If you have no form of paper and you're not really good at chiseling on rocks, okay, then what you did is you shared stories and truths and it stayed within your family. Now that has gone on and is still going on today, but to the extent it was, that's how information was passed down. Okay, just, and I know most of you know this. I'm learning this, okay, and it's good, I'm excited. And so when the printing press came away, the printing press did a lot of different things. What it did is it changed our way we think and we look at things, and it tried to simplify everything. So when you explained that you need to love God and you need to accept Christ in your heart, you need to sell yourself out and say, God, I am all yours, you know, lead me. The printing press came along and said, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. And said, you know, pray and receive and it shall be done. And so we lost some really good truths when we started discipling people and our families because we just relied on a piece of paper to pass our knowledge down from generation to generation. And so I found that very interesting. So what this is saying, this is way before printing press, and it's saying, impress upon your children. To pass on, to say it over and over again in different venues, in different ways, with different people, that this is where we stand. This is what we believe in. This is why we believe in it. And we need to hold to it. And not only that, but have you ever told somebody something? We played a game called Telephone when I grew up. I know it's not a new game. Okay. And it never worked. You would tell somebody, they would tell somebody, come back, and there'd be purple monkeys eating ice cream. And every time. That was actually, I think there was the last guy, it was right all the way around. He just said, purple monkeys eating ice cream. And he just didn't want to play telephone. And so we would play this game, and it frustrated me because we'd never actually get it done. But the reason why it frustrated me is because we couldn't pass on information properly. Now, if the teacher said, here is the answer, here it is on a piece of paper, pass the paper around, well, the paper goes all the way around and comes back, and I had the exact same information everybody read. So that's why the printing press was so attractive, is that it communicated to a large amount of people some really good things and allowed people to be educated themselves so they could learn about it. But we lost something in that generation where that we gave up the right, we felt, to an extent, to pass on to our children because it was available whenever they wanted it. So if I didn't say it now, they can get it at their library. They can get it. We can do it later. And so playing the game telephone, this concept is that am I going to communicate it to my kids well enough that they can in turn communicate it to their kids? You have to be a really good communicator to be confident that what you said sticks, they do it, and they're going to say it to the next generation for their family. That's what impress upon them means, that it's like you have to just keep saying it different ways. They have to get it. So then they will teach the next generation, because it is not the library's job. It is not Wikipedia online. It is the family's job to pass on the knowledge of what God has said. It's not the pastor's job even. It's the family's job. And I think we can be sitting here in this room and there can be a lot of different thoughts right now. One, okay, I'm going to start off right. I'm going to do this right. Two, I'm in the process and I'm going to try to fix this. I'm going to try to make sure it's my responsibility. Three, I'm doing this. I'm encouraged. That's what I'm doing. Good. Four, my kids are long gone and no way they're going to listen to anything I say. So my opportunity is long gone. Okay? And the other one is I don't have kids to pass anything on. Okay? There's a lot of different opinions, but all of the truth can go simply like this. It's every one of our jobs to be a community with each other. And we have friendships with each other, and we care for each other. Someone with somebody in this room cares for you. And it is our job to help come alongside of each other to raise this next generation, to get whatever is thinking wrong in our head thrown out and say, okay, God, let's get this right. We, in this community, in this family, believe that we need to impress on this next generation this truth, to love God with all your heart, and everything else will follow. We need to keep teaching all the other things, but the primary point is if they love God, then they will want to pursue these next things. So then, when we're gone, believe it or not, there will be a day when we will not be in this room together, and there'll be a whole new group of people. We hope that they're saying the same thing and passing the same information on, even better. We hope it's even better. Because things naturally get, you always drop information. So we hope that it gets better and better and better. So that's ultimately what we need to realize. And so as my role as a parent, I just realized that, you know what? I need to pass this on so Ty and Maddie can pass it on to their generation and do even a better job than me. Because I'm giving it to them right off the gate. I didn't start learning about this until I was in high school. And so I went into Bible school going, yeah, I don't know that story in the Bible. So I'll pretend I do, and you just kind of learn along. But if you could know who God is right from the beginning, like it's just amazing. It blows my mind that Maddie and I have some really deep conversations, and we don't mean them to be deep. But when you are innocent and 6 years old now, you're trying to figure out life, and you're trying to figure out parts. And she'll say something to the effect of, when Jesus died on the cross, where did he go? And I'm like, all right, here we go. And away we go. And we start learning together. And I realize that, you know what, if I can explain it to a six-year-old, then I got it. If I can't explain it to a six-year-old, I don't really understand the truth. I really don't understand what it's all about, because I'm just going to mumble and mumble over words. So go take a six-year-old and explain them some deep truth, and if they get it, you can teach, and we'll sign you up. Sound good? I just want to hit a few things. I want to read this to you, and I want to touch on one thing else, and then we'll close. The cue parents. If I can be talking to parents, and you can say, Jeff, why don't you just talk to parents and not to the rest of us? If our parents know what's going on, but nobody else does, then they are not going to have the support that they need to do what they need to do. So when we understand where we are heading as a church, you can say, hey, so how's that going? Did you go to that? Oh, good. You're supporting them. We all have a role to play. We are not exempt from anything. We're part of the bigger picture. So let me read this for you, get a little understanding to help cue parents. 85%, a statistic from Barna, George Barna Group, okay? 85% of parents believe that they have the primary responsibility for teaching their children about religious beliefs. 85, so that's not 100. But a large, large group believe they have the primary responsibility to do that. 96% of parents believe they also have the primary responsibility for teaching values to their children. Parents feel very strongly about their influence with their children. So we in the church need to see our primary responsibility as partner, giving encouragement, providing helpful resources that seem possible from a parent's perspective. The resources can add to an already hectic lifestyle. That can be hard. The American Time Use survey asked thousands of Americans to share how they spend each minute of every day and then averaged the results. The survey found that sleeping, eating, drinking, working, watching TV take up about two-thirds of the average day. In the people with two or more children demographic, three more categories took up significant portions of each day. Household activities, traveling, and family care, an additional half hour for each child. Not surprisingly, some of the smallest slivers of time spent were on personal care, socializing, relaxing, and thinking about religious activities. So when you're like, I'm exhausted, and that's a small part of the sliver, and then you add, well, I got to be connected to the church somehow, that's tough. That is a very hectic lifestyle with not a lot to give at the end of the day. Because we're doing it last. What do I got left for God? Well, we'll see what happens. Let me read this last paragraph. With so much already packed into families' busy lives, how can we help as church parents use the time they're already spending with their children to create more of an everyday faith? It seems like the most likely way is to intentionally cue or prompt parents to use certain times of each day to further their children's spiritual growth. To not just drive to practice, but to talk about the Bible or listen to Christian music on the way there. To not just eat dinner, but to start a discussion about God and how he is working in their family. But cueing parents to use these times, these key times they already have with their children, we are partnering with them and encouraging them to use their greater influence for their children's spiritual growth. So instead of saying, okay, what do you got at the end of the day, is I just take their day and tweak it. And that, I think, is where the brilliance is at. Because when we talk about impressing upon our children, that's what we're talking about. Impressing means on their everyday, from the morning when they get up, when they walk along the road, when they lie down at night, when you're eating, every part of the day, we first of all, as adults, need to say, I need to get it. Then our kids are going to see it. Our kids are going to just be exposed to it. And we got to purposely just say, hey, we need to be impressing on this. Let me share this, and then we'll finish up. When I'm at home, mealtime can go by really fast. Sometimes, I'm learning this, because I'm not, how would I say this? My schedule of my day can be hectic, but there are others that are just way more hectic, seasonal times where they may not see their kids for a short season, where the shift work just doesn't line up. Okay, so I have an opportunity that I can be home every supper. So I understand this can be hard for some people, but when sometimes families, a meal is the only time they can really be together, and then it's off again. But mealtime, to make that the most priority of our lives, where we say, you know what, we're together and we're going to do this. I don't know, you can do 100 things. We can give you 100 ideas, and there's more out there. But just to say, you know what, we're going to pray every time. And that could be a start for just some families. We're going to pray together, and we're going to take turns praying. You know, today, Dad's going to pray, and tomorrow, Mom's going to pray, and the next day, you know, little Susie is going to pray, and so on and so forth. But mealtime is a way that I think when we talk about impressing on them, it's so important that we just don't think about it. We just rush in day to day. The Bible, in Deuteronomy, it also takes, when we walk along the road, not too many of us walk along the road to get somewhere. Now, there are exceptions. Right, Jeff? Awesome. Okay. And I do, too, when Lindsay steals my car. So, we walk along the road, drive along the road, whatever the case may be. But when we're traveling, as I said there, there are many different ways you can make the most of your time. Sometimes, traveling together is the most frustrating time because it's like, quiet down, be quiet. I want to listen to my song. No, I want to listen to my song. Now put this radio station on. And it's like, challenge myself, challenge yourself. My fortunate thing is I live about 30 seconds up the road by car. So, you know, we just get going at top speed and then we're parking. So we don't have time to get in an argument. It's like, but Daddy, I'm like, we're here. That's it. Out. Everybody out. So not too big a deal. But the thing is, when we drive, how can we make that really important? And it could be even like as grandparents, how do we, when we pick up grandkids or niece, nephew, whatever the case may be, or whatnot, there's many ways. Thinking of ways that we can, even ourselves, just put Christ in our lives more. Lie down. This is so, the last two things. Lie down. When we lie down, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you know, and some of you, you're going to learn this. When you lie down at bed for a child to have mom and dad or whoever's in the house know that, you know what, I recognize we're shutting off for the night. It was a good day. It was a bad day. I don't ever want this day to come around again. I don't know what it is. But to be able to say, you know what, the day's over. We're going to thank God for what he's done in our lives. I love you, and give reassurance there so that when they sleep, they are going to go, okay, I'm safe. It's good. God loves me. I have a family that loves me, whatever the family looks like. And tomorrow, I'm excited about tomorrow. It's another day. If the child goes, because you're ticked off, and you're like, you're on a timeout, and you're going to your room, and I'll see you in the morning, that kid is going to have a horrible sleep. And we do the same thing, whether it's us with our wives or whatever. It's just like, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You have to say, you know what? Be the adult. Say, here it is. We're going to close our night off, and reassurance goes a long way. Just by simple, I love you, and it may not mean much. I remember my mom said, I love you, and I remember I always said, I love you too. I could say it even if I barely heard it. I think, I love you too. You know, I meant it, and I didn't really mean it because it became such a habit, and so you're not really saying it. But what I realize is that whether I meant it at the time when I said it, she cared. She was there. She wanted to close the evening off and say, you know what? I love you. And that went a long way. I'll tell you that looking back on it. And the last thing is when you get up, this is a lot more impactful than I actually thought. Get up. It's like get up, and some people are like, oh, man, I can't get up until 9:30. No, they woke up at 7, but they're not awake until 9:30. Your kids, my kids, I'll talk about my kids for a second. My kids are up before they're awake. Okay, that's how up they are. They're just like, ding! It's like, Daddy, let's go! And I'm like, oh, I thought I was a morning person until I had kids. It is tough. And so we went down, and Lindsay and I talked about it. Now that Maddie's going to school in grade one, we said, we realized when she came home and had a bad day, a lot was directly influenced because we did not send her off appropriately. What that means is this. When we rushed her at the door and made her feel rushed, and oh, I hope you have everything, and see you later, and gave her a nice swift love kick, you know, because you draw a little heart on your shoe and you kick her on the butt. Say, see there, I stamp my love on you. when we do that, she is in this mode all day long where she's like, oh, 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 and she may calm down, but it impacted her anyways. And then when we found that, you know what, I don't care if the bus is driving by. You know, I will throw stuff at the bus, you know, eggs or whatever I have to slow it down. The point is, we are going to make sure that as Maddie's leaving, we sit down with her for a second, even at the doorway, and say, you know what, Mad? We love you. We hope you have a great day. It's going to be a good day. And away she goes. We've seen when we do that, her day has been better. Okay, I know there's a lot of different things that can influence that, but when mom and dad sent her out saying, we love you and we care for you, go. Go get the world. It makes a big difference. So when you get up, that's just another way that we can do that. Next month, I'll talk to Steve and see if he can give me some more time to speak to you because we are way past time. And I apologize. It's been a good morning, a lot to take in. But that is something on my heart that I really wanted to challenge myself, that God's challenging me, is how does Deuteronomy affect me? How does it affect our church? We can go through the strategy later. We're going to be talking to our parents and our teams. This is how we do it. But we did an event called FX Family Experience last night. And it is all about getting our families geared up so that they are taking the responsibility with their kids and coming on like a date night, having some fun, learning about what we as a church are helping them teach their kids. The church is to assist the parents, so the parents have to do it by themselves. So we're excited about where we're heading with that, and we want to communicate that in the future some more, what's going on. So let's stand up and join me in a word of prayer. Dear God, we are so grateful that your word speaks truth. We are so thankful that as parents, Lord, we know that your Bible has answers to help guide us to what direction we need to be looking. It helps keep us focused that, you know what, if we love you, then we are going to want to follow what you say. And when we follow what you say, Lord, it is going to help us to be better parents. It is going to help us to raise our kids better. It's going to help us to come alongside of parents because we know what you've called us all to do. And so I just thank you for every single person in this room. Lord, I just pray that you've encouraged them. I pray that you will just build them up, that they can walk away today knowing that you love them so much and you have a plan for their life. You're going to make a way in their life this week, that you're going to reveal something to them that just will say, you know what, I need to get a plan. I need to get focused. I need to see, God, what are you doing in my life? Lord, I thank you so much for every single person here. And I just ask that you will just allow us to step forward one step for you, to stand up, stand out, and just to be heard that, you know what, we love you, we care for you, we want to do what you've called us to do, because that is the best thing we can do. You've created us for a purpose, and we need to follow what that is. We just give this whole time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.